Welcome, everybody, to All About Symbian. This is Insight Podcast number 188, recording this on Friday, the 14th of October, 2011. I'm Steve Litchfield for the site. With me, down in Sussex, I have...
Rafe Blanford.
And up in sunny Scotland...
Sorry, what was that word before Scotland?
Sunny. It happens sometimes, doesn't it?
Sunny. So
no, all right. In gloomy, rainy Edinburgh, we have...
Yes, that's me. Hello, Hugh and Spence. Hello, everybody.
And to try not to make any comments about Hull's weather, we have...
David Gilson.
And it's sunny.
Oh, lovely. It's sunny here too. Now, several items of news this week to analyse and pull apart. Starting, of course, with a new device. We have the Nokia 603 running Symbian Belle, 1 gigahertz processor, near-field communications, of course. The 3.5-inch clear black display, that looks pretty nice. Available in many colours, and the headline feature, Rafe, I guess, is €200 all in. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, I think you're right. That is the sort of headline price point with this sort of six numbering on the beginning. It is a mid-tier, lower-cost device. And as you say, I think this one's going to fit in quite well in the sort of value-for-money space, if you like. And it's like its sister device, the Nokia 600. And Nokia's starting to build up quite a nice range of these Symbian Belle device, and of course that will become even more true once Belle becomes available for the older Symbian 3 devices.
I just say there's been some sneaky shots coming out from some of Nokia's PR people on Facebook of the C601 running Belle, and I think everybody who's been following the podcast and the site knows how much I love the C6, and to see Belle on that one, it just looks wonderful. And this is the interesting thing I'm seeing about all the Belle screenshots in the UI, is that for the slightly smaller screen, I know that there's lots of fighting up between it in the sort of 4 and 5 inch gap screen, but in that sort of 3.5 to 4 inch screen, the sort of mid to lower range screens, Belle really does look more user friendly and touchable than something like Android.
Yeah. And of course, Belle is coming to the C601 officially. The Clever Money says sometime in November. There were some rumours about coinciding with Nokia World. I don't think that's going to pan out. Rafe, would you say mid-November is practical for an over-the-air rollout for the N8 and C601 and C7?
I would suggest it might be a little bit later than that. I imagine the focus is on completing the ANA rollout, which is still happening in a few markets. They're tidying up some operator variants and little bits and pieces like that. So I would probably tend to push it in towards the December mark rather than anything else. I mean, we're just getting the Belle handsets out, so, you know, it's kind of ready to go. But you might as well complete the rollout of one software update before you start on the next one. So I would be just a little skeptical about a November timeline, but hopefully I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I'm very glad to see that the clear black display technology hasn't disappeared. When the E7 came out with it and the C601, and then that was it for a few models, and we thought, oh no, they've abandoned it. It was a technological blind alley, but it's now coming back with a vengeance. And in this case, it's CBD on top of TFT, and TFT screens normally, like the 5800, you expect them to pretty much black out in the sunlight. But with a CBD sort of polarizers on the front, I think this would be very usable, and of course means that TFT screens are much cheaper than AMOLED screens to make, so that's partly why they've got the price down. So I'm quite looking forward to this one.
Yeah, and I'm quite interested in the look of it, because, I mean, as with the other mid-tier devices, it's the plastic fantastic look, although the actual shape and the form of it, it does actually, I think I was saying yesterday, it looks like the X7, but in a good way. and the other thing for like specification nerds, and Rafe, please pick me up if I'm wrong on this, there was confusion when the Nokia 600 came out, because it's a big news of it's Nokia's first 1 gigahertz processor, but it didn't have the same as powerful GPU as the other Symbian 3 phone, so the presumption was that the 1 gigahertz CPU was there to make up for the lack of processor.
I'm going to have to pick you up on that, David. You're thinking about the Nokia 500, which is a slightly lower cost device. In fact, it's the cheapest Symbian device at the moment. The 600 actually has the same sort of base specifications as the 603, the 700, and the 701, and you're right to say they do all have the GPU. That's kind of for graphics and video acceleration on the side. In terms of sort of base specifications, you're also getting things like Wi-Fi, the NFC we've already mentioned, Bluetooth 3, Pentaband 3G with the latest class, so it's actually pretty speedy when it's on cellular connections as well. I think the sort of missing things, or the thing that people might notice in this compared to some of the others is that the 603 doesn't have an FM transmitter, but of course compared to the 600 it does have a 0.3 inch bigger screen. So, you know, it's kind of, you make a choice on what you get. And in terms of pricing, the 603 is sort of 20 euros more expensive than the 600, but compared to the Nokia 700 and the 701, which are 270 euros and 290 euros respectively, not quite a third the cost again. But, you know, getting that way, I think this probably represents one of the best value 3.5-inch screen smartphones you can get, because you're getting pretty much bang up to date in terms of all the sensors, you know, the 3G connections, all that kind of thing. And yet you're getting it in a relatively low-cost package, you know, at 200 euros. That's, you know, a much bigger addressable market than a device coming in at 300 euros. And like you say, David, the design of this is, I think, quite attractive. I haven't seen one in person yet. We'll be able to see it at Nokia World in a few weeks, I guess. But I did notice that it's a bit slimmer than the sort of predecessor devices. So if you think about something like the C503, which was already a relatively thin device, especially, as you say, for the plastic materials being used, it actually shaves 1.1 millimeters off that, so it's almost 10% thinner. So I think, you know, people will notice the thinness of this, and, you know, Nokia have actually used the kind of the plastic to their advantage in this sense that there's a whole range of colors. You get black or white on the front, on the back you get a whole range of colors, so the yellow, fuchsia, white and back blue and others, and no doubt there'll be others to come as well. But as I say, you know, getting all the base specifications of the kind of higher end devices, and really what you're trading off is a few component changes. Steve's already mentioned the screen, there's the FM transmitter, and then it's really the sort of materials used to construct the device. So I think it makes it actually a really attractive device for the mid-tier. It's not going to get loads of attention, but I think it's very competitive with similar priced Android devices. And Ewan, I think, is quite right when he was talking about Bell being more approachable and actually working better on these small screen devices, where you know, the screen, the elements on it are maybe less busy, and Bell does simplify things down in a sense. So it'll be interesting to see how the market responds to this, because of course it is a Symbian device, and a lot of people in the press and geeks kind of write off, you know, Symbian is gone. We've said time and time again that's not the case, and I think this is the device that could really prove that.
Yeah, I think say what you will about Symbian, whether you love it or hate it, the fact is with these mid-tier phones, we are now actually getting more power for less money, and that is a very good trend to be on. And as far as Symbian Bell goes, I mean, obviously we haven't tried it because we're not trying these unofficial firmwares, but just at a cursory glance, it does look a lot more Android-like. It looks a lot more user-friendly than the current widget system in Symbian. And I think if Nokia marketing are going to do their job well, they really need to push this new user interface and actually do it off the back of Android and actually say, well, look, this is much more, and if you like Android, you'll love this, and it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I'm not sure about a marketing message building off the back of Android, but because I think a lot of people buying these devices won't be that aware of the mobile, you know, space, if you like. But I think there is definitely space for a bit of a marketing push, saying, you know, I think try something new is the slogan that Nokia have been using in the device launches, and they did it again with the 603.
That works too.
And maybe we'll see a bit of that, and I think maybe less of the slightly abstract advertising, and for these, you know, show off some of the features. And if you look at some of the early promo videos that are coming out for the other handsets, they do seem to be doing that. So I think it's, if you can get the marketing message right on Symbian Bell and reach those people who might not, you know, traditionally be, shall we say, obsessed with smartphones, there's a lot of potential there. I've, you know, tried Bell a couple of times now on various devices, and there are things actually that annoy me slightly as a long-term Symbian user, but I will say it does feel a lot more up-to-date and easier to follow when you're going through a step process. I mean, a lot of that is about the back key, but it's also about the, sort of the brighter icons, the variable size widgets, the home screen feels like it works much better. Once you get into the applications, it's the better use of screen real estate, which does help on these, you know, 3.5-inch and below screens. And so we're going to be reviewing this in a lot more detail on the site. I think we're coming up for a really busy period with Nokia World coming up. We're getting should be getting these devices in the next week or so, and we'll be doing, you know, an in-depth look at them on the site, of course.
How are we doing on the Bell hardware, Rafe? Apparently Nokia have sent you a 700 review. Have you received it yet?
I haven't received it yet. I'm sort of waiting, having filled in the various loan forms, so hopefully that will be with us soon. I suspect I may be passing that one out pretty quickly to get Steve to do a review, so I think watch this space for that one.
If you get interrupted mid-podcast, we know who, where you've gone to answer the door and pick up the package. I remember Nokia was saying on February the 11th when talking about franchising the Symbian platform, and they were talking about selling another 150 million Symbian devices over the last phase of its life. And people scoffed at that figure. And certainly towards the middle of this year, they were still scoffing. But I think with this new range of Bell handsets and with the fast processors and the low prices, I think that 150 million over the next 2 to 3 years after February 11th, that actually seems quite doable, Rafe.
Yes, I mean, I think it will be a challenge, and predicting sales is notoriously difficult. And I think perhaps Nokia were a bit surprised with the degradation of Symbian sales this year so quickly. But I wouldn't actually be that surprised to see things pick up a bit, because the Bell range does represent a complete refresh. And it's interesting, when you use the franchise language, actually you can really see how this is working here, because the actual hardware platform that all of this is based on is not dissimilar to the original Symbian 3 handsets. It is a new one, but in terms of the chipset family, it's kind of the same generation. We haven't gone multi-core or up to the next generation of ARM. So you can see how Nokia is extracting value. You know, they spent an awful lot of money developing Symbian 3 and the hardware family to go around with that. Now they have had to spend some more to do this sort of Bell family. And actually, the Nokia 500 is sort of a bit unique in that respect. Maybe we'll talk about that in another podcast. But you can see it's actually extracting maximum value by doing these updates, if you like, the low-hanging fruit, and then taking advantage of money that's already been spent in developing the hardware family to go with it. And it, you know, has resulted in these lower-cost devices. And I would be fairly sure that Nokia actually has reasonable margins on these as well, with respect to the fact they are obviously lower cost devices, so they are going to have, relatively speaking, lower margins. But I think, you know, they could do very good business for Nokia over the next 12 months.
Yeah. A lot, also launched along with this new device was a rather radical new headset. We don't normally cover headsets on this Insight podcast, but in this case, I need to quiz Mr. Spence about exactly how this one works. It's the Luna Bluetooth headset is the full title, and it looks like kind of a set of earbuds that you might keep by your bedside to block out the noise of the early morning road cleaners. Ewan, how does this work?
Well, basically, I need everybody to sort of sit down and cast their minds back, certainly in the UK, to 1969, the week after the final episode of Patrick Troughton's The War Games, episode 12.
So I was probably watching it, yes, I was there.
You should have taped it then. It would be really useful. But, you know, John Pertwee was 6 months away. And in that period, we had this new series from America called Star Trek. And in the corner of the bridge, there was Lieutenant Uhura, who did all the communications, talked to every single starship, and she had this great big thing hanging out of her ear. Not the earrings, Dave, just above that. The sort of little earpiece bud communications thing. That's what Luna is.
Oh.
Now, admittedly, it's not silver. It doesn't come with the lovely cooling ridges that everybody in the 60s and 70s sci-fi thought they would have. But this is essentially what it is. It sits in a holder on your desktop. And when you want to answer a call, you pop it out and you put it in your ear. And it's smart enough to go, oh, I've been put in your ear. I'll connect to the phone that I'm already paired with. And you can talk. And when you want to hang up the call, you take it out your ear. And you put it down again. Now, some people might think that sounds remarkably like how you would use a telephone handset.
Go on, man.
But, and they would be right. They would be right. But, you know, and I thought, well, that's weird, but you could just pick up your phone. There's lots of reasons why you wouldn't. The first one is it might be something that you need two hands for. For example, if you're in a busy office and you need to be typing or looking something up, or your entire office is running on an iPhone 4S and you don't want to pull out a Nokia C601 because you'll have to explain why your phone is so much smarter. So you just pop out this little headset, put it in, da-da-da-da-da-da, put it down again. It's very, very techy and fashionable, and it's not for me. To be perfectly honest, I was always more for Sulu than for Uhura. But it, you know, there's five colors. It's NFC enabled, so you don't have to go through the whole Bluetooth pairing process. You can just walk up with your NFC if you have one of the NFC enabled phones and just go, and you're paired up and everything. You could use traditional methods as well. It will maintain a relationship with two handsets. So if you have an iPhone 4S and want to use it, it's the Bluetooth handset on that and your C601 for business and home, then you can. That's not fine. It's a lovely looking accessory. It's a fantastic piece of kit. It's a very interesting use case model. And all I can say is...
Now, let's get this straight, Ewan. Like, I'm looking at the pictures of this this Luna headset. It's obviously impossible to gauge the size of this without looking at it. But as I understand it, you've got this thing in the earbud is inside its little holder, and it's presumably sitting in your pocket. You're out and about, you're walking around, walking the dog or whatever, and a phone call comes in, and your phone rings in the pocket. Also, the headset presumably is doing something, maybe vibrating. So you rummage around, you get your gloves out, you get your keys out, underneath somewhere, in the midst of all of this, there's this little, tiny little headset module, and you reach for that, then you fumble to get the little in-ear piece out of that module, then you put that in your ear. It's 10 times faster to pick the phone up, isn't it?
See, what you've done there, Steve, is you've created a new BBC Three comedy series. You can take that, get James Corden's names attached to it, and you will make a fortune.
Yeah, I think this particular accessory needs to be tried in the real world. I'll delegate you and or David. This just does not look like my sort of thing.
Oh, I'm out. I mean, I've used all my Star Trek impressions. This is one for David to do. Congratulations.
Well done. I think after that massive build-up, I think Ewan's earned it.
No, David, you take the pink one, round hole, see what happens.
I don't know.
I just feel like a small pink lump and stick it in my ear.
And anyone who prefers Mr. Sulu over Mr. Spock, I'm not sure he should be reviewing any accessories.
Mr. Sulu got to fire the photon torpedoes.
Well, that's true, but...
George Takei has made his own Spider-Man musical, which is more effective and hilarious than the actual Spider-Man musical. What sort of... What's Leonard Nimoy done? Three men and a baby.
And Sulu got to fight with a sword.
Yeah, and then what did Leonard Nimoy do? Three men and a little lady.
Okay, should we get back on topic?
Yes. Back on topic. Now, I read a piece this morning. This is a bit of stats, kind of not pulled out of the air, pulled out of StatCounter to be specific. And I was just struck by the way everyone's been pronouncing doom and gloom in the Symbian world and sales falling dramatically. But we're probably just thinking about Western European shops when we think of that. When we look at worldwide usage, actually how people are using smartphones across the world as measured by accessing the internet on their smartphones, in this case via StatCounter, we can see that in the chart, Symbian still has 32% world market share, and that's far more than iOS, whose share has been falling, believe it or not, and Android, which is still roughly around 22%. So far more people use Symbian smartphones across the world right now in October 2011 than any other mobile platform. I don't think most of the tech media would really get their heads around that, but it's true, and I've put the charts up on the site to prove it. Any thoughts, Rafe?
Well, I think it's with all the stats, you have to look at them in context, as you've just been saying. Yes, these are the worldwide figures, and a lot of the time people look at specific market ones. I mean, the one thing you should sort of bear in mind about this is there's an installed base, a number of devices out there. If you look at them, you can see that Android and iOS, and to a certain extent BlackBerry are sort of up there. Some of the others then get a bit smaller. With the Symbian devices, I do wonder whether they're including some other Nokia devices. It's difficult to tell because we haven't got access to the data sources. But of course, the install base of Symbian devices is three or four times as high as iOS, depending on which figures you're looking at and how you count the various different, you know, tablets and iPod touches
as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you'd actually expect, of course, if everyone was using it the same amount, to be three or four times higher. But what this does show is, you know, roughly speaking, and I'm sort of mangling the numbers here, the Symbian figures are about a third bigger than anything else, but of course their installed base is significantly more than maybe a factor of three. So that does tell you that you know, Symbian users on average use their device for accessing the internet less number of pages per device, which, you know, is borne out in reality. You see all the studies, and it tends to be that iOS in particular, but also Android, and it's true to say the newer Symbian devices, Symbian 3, use the internet a lot more, and that's partly, I suspect, the high-end users, partly, you know, the way software's come on. But yes, I think it's an important reminder that you have to look outside your home market. You have to consider the fact there's a lot of devices already out there. So it's not just about the trends that are happening in the last 3 months. It's from some time ago. And a worldwide perspective is always helpful. I'd just caution any Symbian fan from getting too excited about these numbers, of course. But I think it never hurts to have a reminder about, you know, global markets and the, you know, yes, you're quite right, Symbian is number one in this particular case. I'm sure another set of data would find something else, but nonetheless, interesting to have an update on this, and it's actually maintaining its position from sort of 6 months ago when I think we last looked at these figures.
As I mean, I'm always reminded of lies, statistics, damn lies, statistics, and the truth, but also the fact that most people who are commenting online and analysts and everything, they are making guesses. And it's been delightful to watch the number of people online who have said that the iPhone 4S was a meh product. It's just like, oh, it's just a little bit better. Who's going to go for that? Meh. Yet the second you go into the real world, they've had pre-orders larger than anything in Apple's history. And I think, to be fair, in any smartphone's history as well, with over a million pre-orders. Nowhere near the pre-orders, of course, for Ultima 7 and Forza 4 Ferrari on Xbox 360, but there you go. So people go, oh, all the analysts are going, oh, this has happened, and it's gospel. It's not gospel. It's people making guesses. And as long as they're entertaining, enjoy the guesses. But do remember that when you get to the real world, and that's the thing that I find interesting about these stats, when you actually look at something, you can go, oh, that's not what everybody writes about online.
Yeah, really? And you're right about the analysts, and I think particularly at this point in time when we've got iPhone 4S, Android Ice Cream Sandwich, you know, and looking a bit further ahead, BlackBerry doing QNX stuff, Windows Phone coming out from Nokia, and so on. It's going to get more unpredictable. I actually think the next year to 2 years is going to be more unpredictable than the last few years, and that's when we had the rise of Android and iOS. In retrospect, it was possible to see those changes coming in. I think I was surprised, certainly, by Android, and I think it's fair to say I wouldn't have predicted Apple to have such a successful entry. But coming up now, we've got four or five contenders, certainly three very big platforms, all of whom are going to be pushing out devices and updates in the next year. And so, as you said, you know, we're starting to see analysts guess at this, and we're guilty of this too. You know, we say we think this is going to happen, and so the uncertainty ahead is only going to grow.
Yeah, no, we're not going to have Ewan Spence on the podcast next week because you'll be having a wizard time somewhere or other, I gather.
I saw what you did there. Oh, that was clever. Yeah.
Harry Potter world or something similar. So we want to make the most of it, having Ewan on the podcast this week. Now, Nokia Music Explorer, you've been having a look at. It's been revamped.
Ah, next, please.
No, you need to cover this. So let me take this. Is this part of a portal into the Nokia Music Store? How exactly does this Music Explorer work?
I really struggle to find the reason why Nokia Music Explorer is there. The purported idea is that it will make it easier to navigate and give you more chance of finding good music. And it fails on a number of respects. The first one, of course, is Explore. It doesn't let you explore. It provides you the top 10 lists of the various genres in the music store. Admittedly, it's been updated since David looked at it in December on the WRT version. It's having a lovely, whizzy, cutie interface. And instead of tapping to scroll through the 27 million genres to find the one you want, you can now slide your finger over the screen. And all the way while you're doing this, you are seeing one artist from each of the major labels, which they'd all like to post. So we've got Bruno Mars, yeah, he's in there. Adele, she's in there. Laura Marling, she's in there as well. Why don't you buy their album? Now, I'm obviously, that's a hugely cynical view that this is just a simple way for Nokia to make sure that the label's favorite artist is promoted and you don't have a chance to go explore and find a huge strange cross competition between Adam and the Ants and Rolf Harris singing War Canoe. But it does feel that way. It's very superficial. You're seeing sort of top charts of everything. And then the second you want to make a purchase, you pass back to the web browser, you back into a web store that really does look like it was made 2 or 3 years ago, with no rounded corners, with no whizzy effects, and you need to log back in again. There's no customization. I mean, I'm sitting here with a device that's got all my favorite music on it. Why don't you have a little look through and see the sort of stuff I like, and you realize that I don't like Bruno Mars.
Or Adele.
Or Adele. Well, no, Adele's quite nice.
She's all right, yeah.
Adele's fine. Good singing voice. We'll go with that, you know. It's fine. Laura Marling had her on the podcast 3 or 4 years ago. She's got big now. Never calls. Do you know? Fine then. Okay. There's nothing here. It literally is just a new way of looking at the top 10 lists in the Nokia Music Store in your region. What was the raison d'etre? You know, who decided this would be a good use of somebody's time? If it was, then, you know, look, here's a really big issue for me. It doesn't recognize that your phone already has an internet connection. If I'm connected over Wi-Fi, use the Wi-Fi to stream. Don't try and choose one of the internet profiles that isn't even in my default internet profile choice. I mean, I'm on an Orange handset. It called up Vodafone live streaming APN. Why? I mean, it's like not even listed in any of the ones that I use. It's in the uncategorized one. You've already got a solid data connection. Fail. Which, yeah, incidentally, is the new album track from Bruno Mars.
Oh, what a slinky link. You can find links to all these news stories we've been talking about, of course, on the site, allaboutsymbian.com.
I wouldn't bother looking for the new Nokia Music Explorer. You know, just rewind and listen to the Star Trek stuff again.
One more final news story before we finish. Nokia have chosen a new, it's not going to be the default ringtone on all their upcoming smartphones and handsets, but it will be one of the main optional ones, and it's dubstep. Which, now, are you a dubstep fan?
I am now. Hey, interestingly, there is no dubstep genre in the Nokia Music Explorer. Discuss. Yeah. I love that. I mean, this is great because people kind of read the initial news story and went, Nokia looking for a new ringtone. If you looked at the small print, it was actually Nokia looking for you to do something with the Grand Vals tune, which is a na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and so on. So people have been taking that sort of core 10 or 12 notes and doing interesting things with it. What Nokia have done is they've got a great PR victory here. Everybody talked about the Nokia ringtone. Everybody then talked about the winning entry, and it was lovely and divisive. The great thing that anybody ever wants is people to either love or hate something. If people just sit in the middle and go, nah, you know, you've done a bad job.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars. Yeah, not letting that one go for the rest of the podcast. So everybody, you know, really love dubstep or really hate dubstep. I mean, we have to point out it's dubstep for like 2011. It's not dubstep from 2002, 2003. The whole bass tones and the subwoofers have completely changed over the last 5 years in the dubstep genre.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeez, it's like, you know, major chord songs don't win Eurovision anymore. I haven't done since 2001, but nobody ever believes me. But there we go. And it's great because all of those entries are still online. So I'm sitting here with, I hesitate to say it, but the HTC Trophy Windows 7 phone, and I've got my own Nokia tune on here. I'm going to let you have a listen to it now. It's quite sort of comforting. Here we go.
Live sound effect on the Allabout Symbian site.
Again, it's a remix, it's a ringtone, it's slightly unique, and the fact that we're going to have tons of Grand Vals variants to choose from on there. I think it's a great idea. Load up on the ringtones, but again, it keeps the marketing element, it makes them sound fresh, and if you really want the a cappella version, which is out there, and it's quite scary, yes, find it. A cappella Nokia ringtones for the win. Congratulations to the Italian DJ. He gets himself some money, he gets lots of name recognition, and I suspect that will be at the top line of his CV for the rest of his life.
There we are. For those who wanted to comment on the volume levels there, by popular demand, we finally had music drowning out Ewan Spence. No. David.
I have to say, when I heard about this, I did feel rather meh about it. And I didn't look into it, and I thought there was going to be an original tune made. So when I heard the winner, I thought, well, hang on, that's just like what we had before, but noisier. And I have to say the same for what Ewan has just played as well. I think I personally just hate the idea of having really extended, complex melodies as my ringtone. I just want a little sound effect that I recognise, rather than like ambient, ambient music. So, yes, it's a PR victory. Everyone was talking about it. But please, people, just say no.
To be fair, David, the competition was to remix the existing ringtone, which is why I didn't get anything original. But like Steve said, yes, I think this got quite a bit of attention. And I noticed Antti van Jokke was on Finnish TV or in the media talking about Nokia ahead of Nokia World. And he actually commented on two things, and one of which was if he'd been in charge of the company, he would have gone the Symbian Migo route rather than Windows Phone, which is an interesting discussion. I think we might revisit that in a future podcast. But the other thing he's poured scorn on was the dubstep new ringtone, and he didn't like that at all. So I did think it was quite amusing that those were the two decisions that he seemed to think he would have changed.
Yeah,
one okay, rather bigger than the other, I think.
Okay, I'm
dubstep is the bigger one.
I'm going to get a T-shirt printed for Nokia World, and I'm with Ansi.
And that's a good idea. There we are.
Really? Okay. Quick question then, even though I'm not cheering, what's everybody else going to have on their T-shirts?
I think we'll have to leave that as an extra for the next podcast. We need a week to print them, Ewan.
Oh, okay, but that's fine.
Now, we have to wish Ewan a happy flying. He's off to America for a week and a bit, so you won't get him next week, but you will catch Ewan Spence on our Nokia World special podcasts, which will be in about 12 or so days' time. But in the meantime, it's goodbye from him.
Yeah, goodbye.
Very subdued goodbye there. Goodbye from David.
Goodbye, everybody.
And a goodbye from Ray.
Goodbye, everybody.
You can catch us next week on All About Symbian Insight and on Twitter @AAS on the site, allaboutsymbian.com. Catch you next week. Bye.